The substitute just clears up a few remaining things that were being discussed by all the parties involved, and I can go over those briefly for the benefit of the body. They're reflected in the memo that is distributed on the desks. The first change is really a safe harbor provision for those boards and commissions that might need to meet that do not meet on a monthly basis or even every 60 days. If there's a situation with others as well where there's no quorum. The second provision is pertaining to the language there that refers to the relevant fiscal year. That was on the judgment that the senator from the 13th and I discussed the other evening. For example, if there was a judgment close to the end of the fiscal year, we made it more clear in this substitute language that it was not mandating that the agency request a supplemental. The third provision repeats the notice requirements from later in the bill. The fourth one is just clarification so that definitions match. The fifth provision allows the department to start their part of the review process early if they choose to, which was, again, a discussion that we had and certainly makes sense. So that's just an allowance for them to begin their review process earlier. The sixth provision is the same thing, but it's relating to the Small Business Regulatory Fairness Board and the report that goes to them as well as to JCAR. The seventh provision is really twofold. Number one, if they fail to file the report or any portion of the report, it clarifies that the agency, what is subject then to nullification. And the second part is just for protection of JCAR, rather than have it be null and void 90 days after publication, we decided to, after some discussions with the agencies and the administration, it would be a good idea to leave that to 60 days after the start of the next regular session so the General Assembly had input there if necessary. So I would be happy to answer any questions on the substitute.
The senator from Green has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute for Senate Bill number 469. Does any senator desire to be heard upon that motion? The senator from the 13th, what purpose are you seeking recognition?
To inquire the senator from Green.
Senator from Green, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, I am not going to take long because you brought this bill up last year after it was passed in the House, brought it up, and it was on a fast track. You and I discussed it. You started making some changes to it.
Yes.
It was hijacked and was going to be the new FRA piece of legislation last year. You took where you and I were in discussions late last year, started the process again this year. You and I discussed it on the floor, and the whole issue was I did not want all the good rules thrown out with all the rules that might be considered so-called bad rules. So you have a process in place now, and I want to thank you for working with some of the concerns I brought up. But I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes getting up on the floor and giving an idea helps the process along the way, and I think you have a product now that is both good for the public and the taxpayer, but also doesn't create chaos with the bureaucracy.
Well, I think that's something that we all need to be cognizant of as we put our ideas forward. I thank you for your input and just your willingness to sit down and discuss it with me and offer your expertise. And I think we have a good product here. I certainly do. And I know that the House passed a bill that did include the sunsets. And it's my intention to make sure that this is the bill that goes forward.
And we were talking about that before session started. That House bill was just second read, I believe, in today's calendar. So that one's on a fast track, and you said this is the one you would like to perceive
yes.
to be the vehicle. So I don't want to belabor. I just wanted to bring that up, and thank you for working with me.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 4th, for what purpose are you seeking recognition?
To inquire the senator from Green.
Senator, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
He does proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I was not so much concerned with the bill as I was with the fiscal note.
Okay.
Have you reviewed this fiscal note?
I have taken a look at it. Now, there's not a fiscal note out yet on the substitute, but on the committee substitute, I have taken a look at it. Let me flip to that here. Yes.
I mean, the front page says zero or unknown, basically all the way across. But when you start paging through this thing, for instance, DNR is saying they have to hire 16 full-time employees to comply with this at a cost of, I think it was $1.7 million.
Which underscores exactly why we have such a problem with all these rules. You can imagine what this is doing to small business. And I would contest that it's not going to take that many people. But my point is the departments are telling us that it's going to take potentially, you know, that many people. And I would turn that around and say, can you imagine being a small business trying to comply with them? I will point out, though, that many of the estimates that they've made refer to the original bill that went through committee.
Okay.
Even though that I believe it's actually tagged to the committee it's tagged to the SCS. But I think many of those provisions actually were the same in the fiscal note that came out for the original bill.
So, I mean, have you added up this fiscal note? Do you know what
well,
the
you know, it's a
saying?
Little vague, to tell you the truth.
Right.
The fiscal note is very vague. I kind of thumbed through it, and I looked at some of the assumptions, and they're all over the board. For example,
the two that caught my eye were the Department of Revenue and the Department of Natural Resources.
Well, I'm interested in what their assumptions are, because when I was thumbing through these last week, it really underscored to me why we need to be having a review in the first place, because they don't even know, in many cases, they don't even know what's sitting there on the books that hasn't been dusted off in over 10 years. So if they don't know, and the agencies are not aware of it, I can assure them that the small businesses that are out there are definitely forced to deal with it. One thing I would point out, too, is that this is merging a new report with existing reports that they already do. So for them to say, for example, there's a reference in this bill to the Small Business Regulatory Fairness Board. They're already preparing reports on a regular basis for that board. And this moves it from a paper report to an electronic report. So there's a real possibility that we're going to save the state money. The Small Business Regulatory Fairness Board has been requesting electronic copies, and they can't get them. The only thing they can get is a paper copy. Well, there's just reams and reams and reams of paper. And we specify in the bill that they are to be given a copy of the report in electronic format. So I think in the end we're going to find that this is more efficient. It's a process that will reduce cost rather than expand cost. And like I say, just the fact that not only are the reports in many cases already being produced, it underscores the need to have some sort of assessment process in place, because in some cases I don't think that they really know what the impacted community is dealing with out there.
Well, I mean, I would concede that point, Senator, but don't you think that the small business community, if they have a problem with a particular regulation, that they contact their elected representative? Don't you think it bubbles up by its own fruition?
Sometimes I can give you a case in point. Actually, one where there was a problem over at the Department of Revenue. Now, I talked about this the other night on the floor, and I've since gotten a few more facts. And this doesn't pertain to the review process in the bill. This pertains to the process in the bill which strengthens the petition process and allows for the collection of fees and expenses. The Department of Revenue submitted a rule to, they published a rule, and both in 2006 and in 2008, and due to comments and other things that came out of that, they requested the Missouri Chamber, I believe, requested a hearing before the JCAR committee in 2006 and also in 2008. The rule was withdrawn both times by the department, and the notation by the committee was in both instances it looked like JCAR was going to convene a hearing, but the hearing did not ultimately take place because the rules were withdrawn by the department prior to the commencement of the hearing. That happened in both 2006 and 2008.
The same rule?
Then what they did was they went forward in 2000. Let's see if I've got my years correct here. The instructions were included. There was a change of instruction in the department without promulgating the rule. And the instructions included regarding the state tax add back in 2007. And then instructions including the state tax add back in 2008 through 11. And I've got all the forms where they changed the forms, and it has literally cost, it is the cost to small business, and just in the forms alone was between $67,000 and $350,000. And that doesn't cost the addition, that does not take into consideration the addition in tax. It's probably millions of dollars. They circumvented the process. So there's an example where it didn't come to me until I filed this bill. It was not presented as a bill before the General Assembly where we could have superseded what was done. There was no rule in place. And I agree with you. I think that many times we do hear from our constituents, and I'm always thankful when I do. I'm sure that you are as well. That process would remain the same. We can still address those concerns, but many times I know that folks become frustrated from the overlapping bureaucracies between the federal, the state, and the local. I can give you some examples there in my own district where people literally have just given up and they've gone to work for somebody else rather than opening a business and employing folks and creating jobs. And really what it goes to is government at all levels combined has small business strangled with their left hand in the form of regulation and bureaucracy. And then we're essentially slapping them with our right hand, trying to get them to wake up and create jobs, not realizing that we're part of the problem. So I think that through the process of trying to put this together, we've come up with a good compromise. I definitely look forward to a fiscal note on the substitute bill, and I think that some of these things and the changes will be reflected in it.
I mean, my concern is I think we already have a process in place where before there is a rule that is instituted, isn't there a JCAR hearing or something like, or something of the same? So we already have a process of review.
Well, when the rule is first promulgated, it can go for review. But once it's put in place, there is no further review process. Over half of the rules that are on the books right now have not been reviewed or amended in over 10 years. And, you know, when you're looking at almost 11,000 pages of rules in fairly small font, that's a lot of impact to small business. And when you're considering the fact that I think this information was distributed on desks earlier as well.
Senator, I got it.
That might be what it is. Yeah, 6,500 rules. This is a much different. This bill reflects a great change from what it was introduced as, where everything would just be hit a sunset and be required to be repromulgated every 10 years. That would require. I mean that would be a nightmare of paper. And so we're not at that point any longer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
We're not at that point any longer. What the substitute would do instead of that, the House bill, as the senator from the 13th and I were talking about, the House bill is still in that form, and my intention would be to pass the Senate substitute, which is really a reflection of a great deal of negotiation between agencies, departments, the House and the Senate and the administration, so that we don't bury our state employees in paper, so that we don't increase the cost of the publication of the state register, and that sort of thing. So I think the concerns that you're referring to have been addressed in the substitute.
So
it's just that they're not reflected in the fiscal note.
In the note. So if we're not, be patient with me here, if we're not reviewing all the rules, which ones are we reviewing?
Well, they're all being reviewed, but they're not going through a sunset. The departments would be required to begin a review of the rules and then submit to JCAR a list of those that they feel are unnecessary, obsolete, duplicative, or conflicting, overbroad, burdensome. And they would then, in their report, recommend either renewing the rule, getting rid of the rule, or amending the rule. And that is split up over a five-year process, and that is on page...
I'm comfortable with that so far, but wasn't there a punitive section here that if they didn't get it reviewed, that it expired?
Yes, and that's modified in the substitute.
All right.
On page 7, line 11... the review process is delineated in five-year segments so that every 5 years the rules would be reviewed. And they're done by chapter. The titles are listed by number, and those each refer to a different department. I can go through those if you would like.
No, I'm fine. I could.
Now, the punitive portion you're talking about was... changed in the substitute. Yeah, it's in the committee substitute. We refer to the collection of reasonable fees and attorney cost. It's found that a rule should have been promulgated, such as the one I just described with the Department of Revenue, and it was not. Then the non-state entity would be eligible to collect fees and expenses. This, in my opinion, will demand some accountability from the agencies and the departments, so that they don't circumvent the rulemaking process and circumvent the oversight that JCAR has. Now, the only change that we made, the changes in the substitute are relatively minor. It just stipulated that, let's see here. Yeah, it just stipulates that it matches up current law definitions in Chapter 536. So, they would take it out of their operating expenses. I want to make sure that the departments cannot pass that off to the legal defense fund, as we talked about the other night.
No, and I'm comfortable with that, but I think the part that catches my attention the most is page 9 of the substitute. Probably starting at line 25.
Let me catch up with you here. Yep.
And then over to the next page. Did you find it yet?
Okay, page 9 of the Senate sub and line 25.
Starting at line 25 there. If the state agency fails to file the report.
Right.
And has not received an extension. Then the rule shall, then you go over to page 10. The rule shall be void and of no further effect after the first 60 legislative days.
Yes. That's the hammer.
That's the hammer.
That's the hammer instead of the sunsets. They've got to get their work done, and they've got to submit it to JCAR no later than June the 13th of the year after publication of that list that was on page 7, I believe. Now, we did make a change there at the request. Our entire working group reviewed this, and we want to make sure we don't put JCAR in a situation. So instead of saying 90 days after, which I was mentioning earlier, it would be after the first 60 legislative days of the next regular session of the General Assembly.
You're a lot more confident in the General Assembly than I am, and
well,
you think we're going to get something done in the first 60 days.
The reason for that is so that JCAR is doing a ministerial act.
All right.
I'm trying to avoid a separation of powers issue there.
Okay.